That was God, crisp. That was crisp, baby.
We blow up the mic already.
Welcome back to another episode of Honestly.
A horror cast.
With Zoe and Logan.
That was Logan.
And that was Zoe.
Wow. We need the button again.
Oh my god.
Again.
We need our soundboard.
Yeah.
Our invisible soundboard from back in the day.
Vision board.
I was going to say that this is our penultimate episode, but that's actually not correct. Because there will be a fun bonus episode at the end of the season. There will be blood. But this is the penultimate episode of the regular season.
Yes, the franchise.
Before we get into the postseason.
I love the postseason.
I love postseason podcasts. And today, we're going to be talking about Spiral
from the Book of Saw.
2021.
Hand brackets, 2021.
There's a lot going on with this.
There's, oh, wow. Is there?
Wow.
Spiral? Semicolon.
Mm-hmm.
Or colon?
It's a colon. It's a full-on colon,
baby. Full colon.
We're going full colon.
We're exposing our full colon. From the Book of Saw. Whatever that means.
What the fuck is a Book of Saw?
Whatever that means.
What the fuck is a chance?
we took a chance.
God
knows we've tried.
One Direction reference for everybody listening. Hope that these interests converge for you.
As they do for us. We can't be the only ones out there.
We're absolutely not. Spiral from the Book of Saw. I was going to say we have a lot to get into, but we really don't.
Ooh, there's... This is a really slim podcast prep.
Yeah. Yeah, not...
On the way here, I was like, I'm forgetting something, because I thought... Yeah. I wasn't like... I didn't have a sizable stack of notes.
Yeah.
I had a couple of pages.
No, between the two of us, we have 3 pages of notes.
That's crazy.
Not even all double-sided.
Sometimes the traps are like 4 pages.
Yeah, usually they are. But hey.
We're here. We're ready to spiral together. Starting with the key players. Now, this is going to get repetitive because every single character is a cop.
Yeah.
So they all are cops. They're all dirty cops. And our good friend Jigsaw, he's not in this. He's not a key player.
No.
And that was perhaps their first mistake.
Definitely a downfall.
But let's get into it. We have Detective Zeke Banks, who's a real stand-up comedian. Oh, no, sorry. Stand-up guy. That's stand-up guy is what I meant.
Speaking of stand-up comedians.
Hey. He's a detective working for the South Metropolitan Police Department.
Important distinction South. To make.
Yeah. He's the son of a former police chief, and he exposed a dirty cop and is currently being ostracized by his department for being a snitch. And snitches, famously...
Get stitches.
And we've always said that. Then we have Detective William Schenck. He's a fresh-faced rookie working for the South Metropolitan Police Department. He's Detective Banks' new partner. And he's every younger coworker smiling and nodding awkwardly as their older colleague rants about something inappropriate for the workplace. And... He's sitting on a secret.
And we do love when somebody's sitting on a secret.
I think that
movies.
Makes it fun. He's sitting on it. Then we have Marcus Banks, who is someone we are meant to believe is a former corrupt police chief. But he's just Samuel L. Jackson. I don't think ever there has been a person more obviously Samuel L. Jackson playing a character.
Yeah.
Than this.
Than him in this moment.
That's not a police chief. That's Samuel L. Jackson.
Well, and I feel like that's the problem with this movie, because it's the same with Chris Rock.
Yeah.
He's just Chris Rock.
And he's Chris Rockin'.
He's Chris Rockin' all over South Metro Police Department.
He is. Then we have Captain Angie Garza. She's the homicide captain for, you guessed it, the South Metropolitan Police Department. She's the HBIC of Spiral from the Book of Saw, and she's yet another corrupt cop who, alongside Marcus Banks, covered up crimes to protect fellow officers from punishment.
Women can be corrupt too.
Happy Women's Month.
Happy Women's Month, everyone. Go be corrupt.
Woo!
We can do it too.
We stand with you. I'm with her.
Hashtag I'm with her.
Then we have Detective Marv Boz.
Boswick.
He's this installment's fun hat guy, TM. He has a nickname that they really want you to know about, and it's Boz.
Boz.
Boz. Boz.
I think that's said more than anything else in the movie.
Boz.
Boz. And they say it like that,
and at
too.
Different volumes. Yeah. It might be the most repeated word. He's not like other cops in the sense that he remains Zeke's BFF post-snitching, but he's very much like other cops in the sense that he's also corrupt. So they have it all. Then we have Detective Fitch, who, in a shocking twist for the Saw franchise, does not have a first name. He has a last name only. Instead of a first name only. God, Saw, you do it to us every time. He's also a detective.
Where?
For South Metropolitan Police Department.
Great, great.
And he's the current owner of the Detective Zeke Banks You Will Never Be Famous Facebook page. And he's displaying truly cartoonish levels of bad cop.
He is.
He's the bad guy. He has a scar on his face. Is that ever explained either?
I'm not the right person to ask.
Like, I don't think so. Like, I don't think... They were just like, he bad.
He bad.
He's a Disney villain.
Literally,
he has a scar on his face. He's bad. Then we have Peter Dunleavy, who is also a former officer for...
Peter Dunleavy.
Peter Dunleavy. He is the dirtiest cop of them all. He is the dirtiest one. He's Zeke Banks' former partner, which he ratted on and sent to prison. And he's a Hawaiian shirt connoisseur and member of Fitch's Detective Zeke Banks You'll Never Be Famous Facebook page. And that's the star-studded cast we're working for. Working for?
We're working for it.
We're working for them, the police department. They're all cops.
Mm-hmm.
And that, there's not a lot of variety in the characters.
Not a lot to root for.
But we'll get into that. We'll get into that later.
Now we're gonna get into the plot of this movie.
And we use that loosely.
Yeah, like I can't even call it a film. I think that would be too strong of a word.
Yeah.
So it's a movie. It's certainly a moving picture.
Mm-hmm.
It's a talkie.
It's a talkie.
So during an Independence Day parade, and famously every day is Independence Day.
Oh, according to that one song.
That one song. An off-duty detective Marv Boswick pursues a purse snatcher named Benny Wrights into a sewer drain pipe, where he is attacked from behind by a figure wearing a pig mask.
What could it be?
Upon waking up, Boz finds himself in an active subway tunnel.
You know, as you do.
I love how they specified that it was active. That made me laugh. And he's forced to stand on a stepladder positioned on the rails.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the subway trap.
The subway trap. Before that, I just have to say that I thought that at first he was an undercover cop instead of off-duty. And I was like, why is he dressed so noticeably? If he's supposed to be undercover, like, he's wearing the craziest outfit. And, like, again, he's the fun hat guy, so he has a crazy hat on. I'm like, well, that's not very inconspicuous. He's peacocking. But the subway trap. The victim is positioned on top of a stepladder inside of a subway tunnel with their hands bound behind their back with barbed wire. Nice touch. Suspended from the ceiling by a chain was a metal vise attached to his tongue. In order to free himself, he had to step off of the stepladder, which would rip it off. He had to then walk on the handrails to avoid the train. Once the game began, the train would run him over if he wasn't able to free himself in time. And of course, we get a message, not from Jigsaw, but perhaps from Joan Cusack, because the voice of this iteration... Sounds like her.
It sounds like Joan Cusack. I also saw a comment that somebody made on Letterboxd where they said that, like, it sounded like Adam Driver, and I can't unhear that now.
Joan Cusack and Adam Driver.
It's a crazy mashup.
Teaming up. But it's literally like, hello, detective, by the way. Like, it's just, like, monotone, but somehow, like, a little sassier.
Yeah.
It's like they wanted a monotone, like, just, like, kind of, like, robotic almost voice. But
it sounds like Kourtney Kardashian.
It does.
Like, it's her way of speaking. The cadence of her voice.
Oh, my God.
Like,
Kim.
Kim, welcome to your trap.
People are dying. Live or die.
Live or dying.
Make your choice. Hello, Detective Boswick. I want to play a game. The 3 train is arriving in 2 minutes. It is up to you to decide if this will be your final stop. You have taken the witness stand many times and railroaded innocent people with your lies, putting them away in jail. Today, it is you who will be railroaded. You have one chance to live. Tear from your mouth the tongue that has so often been used to lie and to deceive. Take a leap of faith and you will live. Only your weight will rip away your lying tongue and save you. Live or die, make your choice.
There's something so funny to me about the 3 train is arriving in 2 minutes. I feel like I would mishear that and I'd be like, oh God, the 2 train is arriving in 3 minutes. And I think I'd have more time than I did and then I would die. That's silly. It feels like he was trying to trip Boz up with that one.
I think he was. Also, so heavy-handed with the puns.
At least that's consistent.
Like,
they kept that.
Railroaded. Which, tear your tongue from your mouth with lies.
Take a leap of faith. They went hard with that one. So although Boz desperately tries to free himself, he fails to complete the task and is subsequently killed by the approaching subway train, which is the 3 train that was arriving in two minutes. Meanwhile, Detective Ezekiel Zeke Banks, everybody has sick nicknames in this.
Boz.
Zeke. He infiltrates a drug ring, but is exposed as a cop when one of his colleagues accidentally blows his cover. Angered by his solo efforts, Zeke's captain, Angie Garcia, a.k.a. Hermione Lodge, introduces him to his new partner, Detective William Shank, a.k.a. Max Minghella, who has just joined the South Metropolitan Police Department. Zeke and Shank are then immediately called to the crime scene in the subway tunnel. Due to the gruesome nature of the murder, the police initially assume that a jigsaw killer copycat is responsible. Yeah,
this is also where Chris Rock starts when he's, like, undercover.
Oh.
He's doing his Type 15.
Yeah.
Then when Captain Garza is like, here's your new partner, he's like, okay, I'll do another Type 15 with him as we walked the subway.
Yeah. He was doing crowd work with
him. He's like, let me workshop.
Yeah.
Did the other guys didn't love it. Let me try with you. This is also where they said, is that a bum? Was he a bum or something about the guy? And I said, no, that's not a bum, that's a torso. Because the guy's torso in the subway truck. And it got me.
Is that a bum? No, that's a torso. No, that... You were working on your Type 15.
Thank you.
She'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Title of the ep.
Thank you.
Once Zeke returns to the police station, he receives a mysterious box containing a video recorded by the killer, who informs Zeke that he intends to reform the corrupt police department and leads him to the local courthouse. Shortly after arriving, Zeke finds a second box with Boz's severed tongue and police badge, realizing that his colleague was the victim in the subway tunnel. Because the body was so eviscerated that he couldn't recognize his own former best friend.
BFF.
Bestie Boz.
This is also when they were in the police station, and I said that it looked like a Universal Studios ride.
Yeah.
Like, specifically the Spider-Man ride.
Yeah.
Like, all of the, like, set was, like, vintage looking, but like cartoonishly so. Like everything was like very rounded corners, looked a little too big to be like a real clock.
It was just weirdly retro looking.
Yeah. I was like, we're in line to go on the Spider-Man ride.
Yeah. Like, where's that couple that was like making out? They're
leaning on each other and gazing into each other's eyes.
I also don't remember. This must have happened pretty early on in the film though, because it's at the beginning of my notes, but there is a Forrest Gump reference.
There was.
I think Chris Rock makes a Forrest Gump reference.
What was it?
I don't remember the context of it, but I just feel like it further solidifies.
Oh, he was talking about Jenny. That was part of his tight 15.
It was part of his tight 15.
That with literally nothing to do with anything.
And didn't he say the R slur?
I believe so.
Oh, this is also the first Saw movie to say the N word.
And I'm pretty sure. And like the F word.
Like fuck?
Yeah.
Really? They've never said that before?
I think this was the first one that had like a different rating.
Wow. Oh yeah. I did see something about that. They had to fight really hard to get an R instead of an NC-17. So just some like fun little tidbits.
But yeah, that with the Forrest Gump reference was literally not related to anything. That was just like the undercover cop part where he was just monologuing.
He was. That's exactly what he was doing.
God bless.
God bless. Also worth noting that during the opening scene where they're at the Independence Day parade, it wasn't actually a parade now that I'm looking at this. They were at a fair.
It was a fair.
But anyway, you can see a pig balloon in the background.
And we screamed.
Huge pig motif.
I didn't see it. We had to rewind because Logan was like, pig balloon! Can't wait to edit that spike of me screaming pig balloon. It was needed.
It was. It was absolutely necessary. Meanwhile, homicide detective Fitch is abducted and placed in a trap.
Oh.
That trap being the finger trap.
The finger trap. So, the victim is placed into a large tank with a bundle of copper wires hanging slightly over the edge of the basin. Slowly, the tank would fill with water. In front of the victim was a table with a metal bar that would stop his arms from moving past a certain point. Also on top of the table was a motor connected to a large turning device around which 10 wires were wrapped. The wires went under the metal bar and ended in a set of very tight metal sheaths placed on his fingers. I'm wiggling them.
Me too.
Additionally, a cage-like helmet, so a helmet, so,
yeah,
with two small bars on the front was fitted to his head. The victim could bring the bars together by biting down, which would start the motor. This is so convoluted. Like, it's truly...
It is.
The device would begin to slowly turn, retracting the wires and pulling the hands of the victim under the bar. Once the game began, the victim had 90 seconds to remove his fingers from the trap, or he would be electrocuted as the water rose to the wires. To do so, he had to continue biting down until his fingers were entirely pulled off, at which point he could safely exit the tank.
Well,
and he also gets a little message. Hello, Detective Fitch. I want to play a game. The tide of justice is rising around you. In 90 seconds... The water will rise to the height of the copper wires. And if you are still in the tank, you will be electrocuted unless you make the sacrifice that will cleanse you. You murdered a man because he insulted you. Your finger pulled the trigger, and that cannot happen again. That cannot happen again. Survival is simple, but it comes with a sacrifice, doesn't it always? Bite down on the device in your mouth, which will start the motor that will rip your fingers away, leaving you free to escape with your life. But if you don't act quickly, all that awaits you is the watery tomb. Live or die. Make your choice.
Incredible stuff.
Watery tomb.
That's so interesting. So ultimately, Fitch fails to escape his trap and is killed by a fatal electric shock. Mm-hmm. When Fitch's body is found, Zeke's colleagues begin suspecting him due to a past incident where Fitch ignored Zeke's call for backup and the latter was attacked by an armed criminal, causing Zeke to get shot.
Yeah.
And they're like,
that's crazy.
Seems like reason that you'd want him dead.
Yeah, I mean, fair.
Later on, Zeke and Shank visit a church to interrogate Zeke's former partner, Peter Dunleavy. Peter Dan Levy.
Dan Levy.
Peter Dunleavy. who was, nope, who shot a witness.
Who shot a man?
Named Charlie Emerson.
Something to consider.
Dan Levy claimed it was self-defense, but Zeke did not believe him and ultimately arrested him, resulting in Dan Levy's discharge from the force and a prison sentence. Wow.
And now he's just like a random man in a Hawaiian shirt and funky glasses in a church.
Yeah, honestly kind of seems like he's living his best life.
Right? And like he was living there. They say something about that.
Yeah, that was his home.
So, hey.
You know. I guess that prison sentence did him some good.
Yeah.
He turned over a new leaf.
And put on a new Hawaiian shirt.
Amen. The next day, Zeke receives another box, this time containing a pig marionette, a red vial labeled Constantine Paints, and a piece of Shank's tattooed skin.
Mm.
The vial leads Zeke to a butcher shop, which used to be a hobby shop, named Constantine Trains. His father, retired chief Marcus Banks, took him there during Zeke's childhood. The arriving officers find a skinned corpse in the back of the butcher, and an audio tape discovered at the crime scene identifies the victim as Shank. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, because he told Zeke that he had a son named Charlie, and that's the tattoo that's found in the box.
Yeah.
And then they get to the butcher shop, and I was confused about this because walking in, it didn't look closed to the public, and then I was like, oh, they're going there to, and again, we've seen this movie multiple times, I was like, oh, they're going there to, like, interrogate the guy who owns the shop, and then they just walk through all the way to the back, and there's a corpse hanging, skinned, and I was like, wait, was it open? Like, it doesn't, we see outside, and it doesn't seem, like, cordoned off in any sort of way.
No, there's no, like, police tape.
Like, it looks like they just walked into, like, a fully functioning butcher shop.
During business hours.
And then they're like, we'll check out the back. Oh, a man. Like, it was very interesting.
So, later that day, the killer assaults Captain Garza in the police station's cold case room. And this is the Hot Wax Trap.
Very creative names, once again. So this trap consists of probably some things in the name. A large boiler of hot wax.
What?
And a table on which the victim is restrained. A cloth, first, let me talk about the cloth again, because I wrote this down. Every time someone was kidnapped in this film, it was with a piece of cheesecloth. Like, it was wrapped around their face, like, just... Every time, big cheesecloth budget on this installment of the franchise. But a cloth, perhaps of the cheese variety, was placed over her face and a blade was positioned under her neck. The wax boiler also had a pipe over her face, and when it was activated, a valve on the container would open, allowing the hot wax to pour out over her face. Aside from suffering burns from the hot wax, eventually it would cool and harden, suffocating her if she failed to free herself. In order to survive the trap, the victim had to force her neck into the blade hard enough to sever her spine, which would stop the wax from continuing to pour. She also gets a little message. Lucky her.
Hello, Captain Garza. I want to play a game.
Literally what it sounds like.
It is, like, it's sassy, but also bored.
Yeah.
Hello, Captain Garza. I want to play a game. You have covered up corruption in your department, never sticking your neck out for the innocent. Now the cover-up will be on you. In a few seconds, boiling hot wax will be coming out of the pipe above you. The only way to stop yourself from being suffocated is to sever your spinal cord with the blade beneath your neck, which will stop the wax. You cannot walk away, but you can survive. Live or die, make your choice.
That is one of the most disturbing traps to me, personally.
And to just be like, you can't get out, you can't walk away, but like, you'll live.
So, so harsh. So Garza does not complete her task and suffocates as the wax covers her face. After Angie's body is found, Zeke reviews the surveillance recordings and discovers that the footage showing the corridor before the cold case room at the time of the crime has been deleted, as the server's login data points towards Peter Dan Levy. Zeke returns to the church to interrogate his former partner, but is subdued by the masked killer.
With cheesecloth.
When in doubt, cheesecloth. Zeke wakes up in a storage hall. What the fuck is a storage hall?
You know. A storage hall.
Okay. With his arm handcuffed to a pipe. And this is Ezekiel Banks' trial.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. This is what, was it after this where someone said, meet me at the old soap factory? Like, that was, like, a thing? Like, that was a common meeting place? Like, I think that's, like, before he gets...
Yeah.
Got. He's got, like, yeah. Meet me at the old soap factory.
The real question is it an abandoned old soap factory?
I'm gonna guess yes. I'll go out on a limb.
I will say, like, the version of, I don't know, metropolitan city that yeah. they're in this movie looks far less yes. decrepit.
And it has a Taroni. We know that to be true.
We'll get into that.
We know that to be true.
Oh, boy.
So, this is a series, of course, of traps, mm-hmm. because it's a trial. It's his trial. It's always going to have multiple things under it. But the first test is similar to the bathroom trap from Saw 2004.
Callback.
But instead of the victim having their leg chained, it was his hand that was handcuffed to a metal pipe. In order to escape, he would have to cut off his hand with the provided hacksaw. So kind yeah. of them to provide. However, a bobby pin was conveniently placed near him, so he was able to escape the trap without harm.
Amazing.
Look at that.
Just as Jigsaw intended.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moments later, Zeke notices Dunleavy standing on a wooden box with his arms chained to the ceiling. Zeke finds another tape left behind by the killer, who confronts him about Dunleavy's corruption and offers him a choice to save him or let him die. And this is the glass grinder.
And I bet there's gonna be some glass and it's gonna be ground.
Wait, you think?
I don't wanna be, I just like, I don't know. I just have this feeling.
That's crazy of you
kind
to say
like
that.
Kind of like a gut feeling. I feel like I'm an empath, but also an intuitive, you know?
You're a highly emotional person.
I am. So the glass grinder. The victim is suspended from the ceiling by their hands via chains.
Yeah.
With their back facing a large chute. On the other side of the chute is a large metal grinder. And above that is a conveyor belt with glass bottles on it. Upon activation, the conveyor would begin to dispense the bottles into the grinder, which break the bottles into small shards. Once the game began, the grinder would launch the glass shards through the chute, where they would be flung into the victim's back. In order to survive, the victim would require the help of Detective Banks, who must find the key and unlock the padlock, which would stop the grinder and conveyor from moving. There's a little message for Banks. Hello, Detective Banks. I want to play a game. When Peter Dunleavy murdered an innocent man, your career was shattered like glass. Can you stand on the sidelines while justice is finally served? There's a way to save him. Or you can keep him locked up and throw away the key. The decision is yours.
So although Zeke tries to save him, Dunleavy ultimately succumbs to his injuries.
He perishes from shards.
He perishes from the shards of glass.
Yeah.
While looking for a way out, Zeke comes across Shank, who faked his death.
Oh.
Couldn't have seen that coming.
Definitely didn't.
Revealing himself as the killer, Shank tells Zeke, a lot of harsh sounds
it's
in
Shank,
this.
Zeke.
Buzz. Shank tells Zeke that the innocent man shot by Peter Dunleavy was his father. It was his father this whole time. And so that led Shank to adapt John Kramer's modus operandi to exact vengeance on the corrupt police system.
Mm-hmm.
Shank offers Zeke to join him on his mission to reform the Metropolitan Police Department. Sorry, South Metropolitan South. Police Department. And initially, Zeke reluctantly agrees because William abducted his father, Marcus, after luring him to his hideout. Shank forces Zeke to participate in a final game to test his loyalty and leads him to his father. And this is Marcus Banks' test.
Okay, so this one is, it consists of several shackles connected to the victim's limbs with IV drips fitted inside of them and a harness suspending the victim in the air. Once the game began, the IV drips would slowly drain the victim of blood, ultimately killing them if enough time passed. In order to survive, he relies on Zeke. Above the victim is a large target, which when shot, supposedly releases the victim from the shackles and stops the IV drips. Additionally, the doors to the room are rigged with wires. If the door is open, the victim is raised back in position, which also triggers a shotgun barrel to come out of the shackle on his right arm and raise, giving the impression that he's going to shoot whoever entered.
Incredible. So Shank hands Zeke a gun with a single Shank bullet. Shank
hands Zeke a gun.
Ask app, not to track. That's what that's it sounds
it.
Like.
That's it.
God almighty. Hands him a gun with a single bullet and tells him to either save his father and allow Shank to flee, or kill Shank and sacrifice his father's life in the process. Meanwhile, Shank calls the police and informs them about a shootout to lure them to the hideout. There's a shootout at the hideout.
Zeke with Shank and Zeke and Banks and Bert. Yeah,
it's all cap not to track.
Very hard.
Boz.
Boz.
Zeke decides to save his father and shoots a spiral-shaped target, causing Marcus to be lowered to the floor. However, a SWAT team arrives when he pursues Shank and brutally attacks him. As they open the door, they accidentally reactivate the trap. Several wires lift Marcus from the floor, turning him into a living marionette. Unable to resist, the machine lifts Marcus's arm, revealing a shotgun barrel affixed to it. Mistaking him for an armed assailant, the SWAT officers shoot Marcus and kill him before Zeke's eyes. Meanwhile, William escapes in an elevator.
And he goes,
shh. And that's the end of the fucking movie.
That's the end. Those are all the traps. That is the whole movie.
That's it, baby.
That's it. Also, there's a part where we get a flashback to show, like, when Marcus was, like, the chief and how he was working with Angie. And he has a mustache to show time has passed.
Yeah.
And also, Zeke has a backwards hat.
Yeah.
So it continues the legacy of Saw using backwards hat.
To indicate, like, flashback. Yeah. Yeah. And that's important.
It is important.
To us,
it's
personally.
It's so important. I'm trying to, like, anything else here. Every shot of Chris Rock, he was chewing gum.
Yeah, like aggressively. The gum was a paid actor.
Very orange, very yellow in parts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it's over.
There's actually like one part where they're in like a room at the police station. It's like, I don't know, I think Hermione Lodge is there, and then it's Chris Rock and then Max Minghella. I refuse to use their character names.
They're hard to say.
Shank. I can't. And Max Minghella asks to use Chris Rock's phone.
Oh, yes.
Because, like, his phone's dead. And Chris Rock says, your phone's dead? What are you, a little girl? And then he gives him his phone and says, just, like, don't drain the battery watching Twilight.
Like, what?
Which I just... I think that's incredible.
It is. Because I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Why does that make you a little girl? Your phone being dead?
Only girls use their phone.
Phones die. I don't understand, but I do love every moment of that. Shall we bingo?
Let's bingo it up, baby.
Bingo?
Not a whole lot going on with bingo.
Really, really not.
This time around.
This is our card. We have no bingo. No one would have a bingo. There's only three things. But maybe you could have a different...
Maybe you got a bin.
Maybe you got a bin, and that's something.
That's something.
So, of course, free space.
Mm-hmm.
Check it off.
Yeah.
We have kindly given gag-worthy plot twist. It's loose.
It's, yeah.
It's certainly a plot they wanted to twist.
Yeah.
And have us gagged over it.
Yeah, and maybe the first time we watched it, we were gagged?
Maybe.
You know?
And I think, again, that's us being kind.
But this is, listen, I'll say this. This is not like the plot twist in Jigsaw that no matter how many times I watch it, it's going to gag me.
And that's just because the film is so forgettable. You just don't remember what happens in it. Then we have a character that only exists for exposition dumps and knows all the lore. Mm-hmm. And that's everyone.
I was going to say that's every character.
Every character only exists to be a character. Like, there's nothing to them.
Their only purpose is to deliver exposition.
Yeah, about the movie.
Die.
And that's it. And that's what they do. And that's why it's so short. It's like, here's what he did, he's dead now. Here's what he did, he's in dead. A trap and he's dead now. Like, that's how it rolls out. And that's why we're done talking about the plot and the traps at this stage.
Yeah. This is going to be on record as our shortest episode, yet. I think.
Then we have character calls out, hello, or is anybody there? Mm-hmm. And I think that's when Zeke wakes up in the, what did they call it, storage hall? I think that's when he wakes up there. Exactly. He's like, hello.
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 Is anybody out there?
So, no bingo in this one. Still yet to have a bingo for the Saw season, but we'll see.
You know, we got one more movie to get through.
Could be.
Could be. That'd be a great grand finale if it was.
It would be. Goofs.
Ooh.
Fun facts.
Okay.
I've got some fun facts for you.
I also, I think, compiled a couple of fun facts as well. So we might have some of the same. So you go first. Okay. And if I have any that you didn't get, I'll share them.
So we know this. You and I know this already. Mm-hmm. But Chris Rock is a huge fan of Saw.
Huge.
And he came up with the story for the film, and he pitched it to Lionsgate. They loved it so much, they not only let him star in it, but also made him an executive producer.
Yeah.
And to that I say, when is it our turn?
Okay, Lionsgate, if you're listening to this, which I know you are.
I know you are.
Give us a call.
Please.
Okay.
Please.
We have ideas.
Please. Then when Zeke and William are scoping out the meth house, Zeke says, this is some New Jack City shit. Chris Rock, who plays Zeke, also appeared in New Jack City as a police informant inside of a crack house.
That's good shit.
It's a good one.
I like that.
Similar vein to that one. The police basement vault door is manufactured by a company called Jules and Vincent, which is a reference to the characters played by John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson in Pulp Fiction.
When we were rewatching Spiral before the episode, when it showed the door, I was like, Jules and Vincent. I was like,
I know.
I was like, those names together sound so familiar.
And I was like, why are they focusing on that so much? Because it's like huge, first of all, and you see it so many times. And then I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah, and then I saw that on IMDb and I was like, oh my God, of course.
Also, there wasn't initially meant to be a puppet in this film, but Darren Lynn Boozman insisted, which led to the creation of the little pig puppet, who was called Mr. Snuggles behind the scenes.
Like, he'll never replace Billy,
I love the idea of, like, Billy having a friend named Mr. Snuggles.
Okay, Saw 11, we need to see Mr. Snuggles and Billy link up.
And us.
Live action movie of us as Mr. Snuggles and Billy the Puppet.
I think so.
Okay, dynamic duo.
I just think that could be fun. And then, final fun fact is the opening scenes were filmed at a fairground in Toronto, which I couldn't confirm this, but it's the X,
It's the X fairground.
It has to be. They thought they had permission. They did not. And they got kicked out, but they stole the shots anyways, and those are in the film. Those are my fun facts for you.
I love those so much. I have an additional one that I'm sure you saw during your research, but the killer uses a pig mask to hide their identity, similar to Jigsaw from the previous films in the franchise. However, their motives for choosing a pig is different. Jigsaw wore a pig mask because he started his work in the Chinese Year of the Pig.
Do you know anything about the Chinese Zodiac?
Jill. No. And the killer in this film uses a pig as his mask and a puppet. the mask paying homage to Jigsaw, while the puppet is alluding to the fact that the killer views police officers as pigs.
But famously, as they say in this film, Jigsaw doesn't target cops.
That was going to be my honestly good moment.
We're going to get there. We'll still say it.
So those are the fun facts for this movie. And then there actually weren't a lot of goofs and gaffes on IMDb because it was just that good of a movie that there weren't many goofs.
They said everything that was goofy was on purpose.
Exactly.
You wrote it in.
It was intentional. But I have a couple. So William plans to fake his own death. Or sorry, William's plan to fake his own death wouldn't have worked in real life since forensics could have easily determined that the skinned corpse was not his.
Yeah.
William states he tattooed his name on Boz's arm. This is impossible. A new tattoo would not heal on dead skin. It takes at least a week for a tattoo to heal after scabbing over. And then as Zeke and William walk along the subway platform to investigate the first murder, the camera and crew are visible in the train's windows on each passing.
God bless.
So.
Love that.
There's that.
I also have a question.
Yes.
Where, okay, so he, his name is, what's his name? Emerson is his real last name.
Charlie Emerson.
So like, he
William Emerson.
He somehow entered the police academy under a fake name. Like, I think they probably have like pretty solid background checks.
I would think so.
So that's a lingering question that I have that feels like a goof.
That I think is a definite
but
goof.
I'm not sure. I can't be certain that it's a goof.
No, I think we can be certain.
Now is the moment that we talk about if we would survive the traps.
Oh, right.
The traps at play, how we would fare in them.
I think the overall answer is just no.
No. Subway trap, well. Don't think I could rip my tongue out.
No.
I...
We love yapping too much. We can't be tongueless.
We can't live without that. Just hit us, Trey.
Yeah. Sorry.
Take us out.
No, that's a negative.
Finger trap? I don't want to.
I don't want to rip my fingers
and
off.
Grody, just electrocute us, please.
Yeah, hit us with the train, electrocute us.
We want to die. So no to that.
No.
Hot wax trap.
No.
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 Sorry, I'm not severing my spinal cord.
I also just think that the hot wax, like, scalding your face, you'd, like, pass out.
Oh, for
at a
sure.
certain point. Like, I think that you maybe wouldn't even have time to, like, sever your spine because you'd probably, like, succumb to, like, burns.
Burns, yeah.
But that's just my opinion. So, no, I don't think I could survive that.
Okay, we're 0 for 3 so far.
We could survive the first part, just getting a bobby pin and unlocking our handcuffs
in
Ezekiel Banks' trial.
I want to say yes, but I also don't know how to pick a lock.
I feel like if you had to, you could.
Maybe. I mean, if somebody so generously left a bobby pin behind, then I guess I could work on it.
Just jam it around.
Yeah, sooner or later maybe something
would pop open.
Yeah.
So, we'd say tentatively we'd
survive
that.
Yes.
The glass grinder. If we were Peter, no.
No.
But Detective Banks just really has to stand there, doesn't he?
Yeah, he just has to find a key.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, once again, this is going back to the age-old tale of having to rely on other people.
Yeah, and usually a dumb cop.
Oftentimes.
As it's played out.
Yeah.
Before.
So that's probably going to be a no.
Probably a no. Final one. Marcus Banks test. Marcus Banks is like not a...
No.
Too many...
You can't have two names ending in S.
No, that's a lot.
That's wrong. Well, I mean, can anybody really survive police brutality?
That's so true. End it now. We've solved it.
But you know, it's just like... If you, whether you're doing it on purpose or not, if you're waving a cop,
yeah.
if you're waving a gun, the cops are going to get you.
They're going to, and maybe even if you weren't, if you were just there.
hey, the proof is famously in the pudding.
And boy, boy, is there a lot of pudding.
Boy, do we love pudding.
Letterboxd? I always think Letterboxd is coming up sooner than it is. So I like get ready, I have them, and then it's like, oh no, we have to talk about the drafts.
I love this part. I refuse to look at Letterboxd reviews until you read them to me.
I love that. Thank you.
Because I find them delightful.
I will say, it was hard for me to, like, it was slim pickings. I just think people don't watch this movie, and if they do...
And I understand.
They're not writing reviews for it. Or people had, like, really long reviews, which I'm sure were great, but it's like, I'm not reading all that. Like, I'm sorry or I'm happy for you. But anyway, this one, starting right off, is from Brody. 1-star review. He said, what the hell is a Book of Saw? And I think that's ultimately the question we're all asking ourselves.
Yeah. What does that mean?
What is the
what
book?
What does that mean?
Because I'm just... Books have not really been, like, a reoccurring theme.
And I just remember, like, explaining the series of movies to my cousin. And I was like, well, technically, like, this one is before this one in the time. Like, getting into all that. And that was... She was on board, understood that.
Sure.
When I said Spiral from the Book of Saw, she said, there's a book? And I said, no.
I can see why you would think that, but no.
But no.
And that's where she drew the
line. And then that was where the confusion lied. And I get it.
No, I understand.
Because I also am deeply confused.
Because what the hell is a Book of Saw?
What is a Book of Saw?
Like, is it like the Book of Mormon? I don't know.
I don't know. And I'm scared to ask.
And I just feel like the franchise can't end until we get answers.
For that, right?
You know?
At the end, the last Saw movie, they're going to go, and the Book of Saw was the friends we made along the way. And they're all going to come out and hold hands and lift them up and bow like a stage production.
And we'll be sitting in the front row crying.
Yeah, clapping. And then we'll end with us getting a gun and shooting off dead, and that's it. That's the end of the movie.
And that would be a stunning conclusion to the whole franchise, I think. Okay, this is a 2.5-star review from Persia, who said, why did I get so excited about a 1-second shot of a picture of John Kramer's autopsy? The series just isn't the same without my socialist king.
Aw, socialist king he is.
You really feel his absence.
You do.
And it's hard.
It's because it just, like, it's not great to begin with. And then we don't even see Peepaw.
We don't even see Peepaw. Matthew gave the movie 3 stars, which feels very generous. And they said, you could have shown me the flashback where Chris Rock is wearing a backwards hat and Sam Jackson is wearing a comedically fake mustache and told me it was an SNL skit, and I would have no problem believing you.
No, that's too real.
Mm-hmm.
I like that the mustache was also because I was like,
yeah,
they were like, time has passed looking at a mustache.
Like, I believe it. I believe it. Haley gave the movie 2.5 stars and said, I totally saw that ending coming. Get it? Ha ha.
5 stars to that review.
5 stars, Haley. I get it. We get it. And that's funny. Boring Blue Girl. Oh my god, Boring Blue Girl! I just realized that it's the blue girl from TikTok.
Love her.
Okay. This is just like a little aside, but there's this girl on TikTok. Her handle is Boring Blue Girl, or Boring Blue Boy, I think, actually, on TikTok. She has blue hair. She talks a lot of stuff about, like, horror movies and stuff like that. We think she's the coolest.
She has a lot of collectibles that I would like to have.
She has really cool collectibles. We just think she's so fucking cool. Boring Blue Boy / Girl, if you're out there listening to this,
we love you.
Come on the pod. Anyway, I just realized that I saved one of her reviews. Queen, she gave the movie 3.5 stars, which, like, respect. And she said, Chris Rock made this so unserious.
Real.
Which, like, he did.
He did.
He really did.
Vinny
gave the movie 1 star. That's more like it. And said, the last 5 minutes had me rolling in my seat due to how stupid it got. And if that's not a perfect Saw ending, then I don't know what is.
Yeah. That's fair.
It is. It's a fair assessment of the film. Lucy gave the movie 1.5 stars and said, this movie is unrealistic because if I had a friend that was terrorizing cops, I would mind my business. Corey gave the movie 1.5 stars and said, how many dick riders does Jigsaw have? I forgot about that one. That's the final review that I had from Letterboxd, and I think what that's a great one to end on. Outstanding. Oh, as so always, good. Excellent work to everybody on Letterboxd. Thank you for holding things down.
Yeah. You can also follow us there.
At Honestly Pod.
Check something it out. To consider. Also something to consider is our own review.
God almighty.
And what a film.
What a film to review.
What a film to review. There's so much and nothing happening all at once.
That's literally it, though. So as always, if you're new here, we talk about 5 key categories when we review these films. Plot, characters, scare factor, acting, and aesthetic. Mm-hmm. So let's kick it off with plot, in terms of like believability, like the twists, etc.
Mm-hmm. Tough place to start. Considering our notes for the plot was a single page.
Yeah.
Well, more or less.
I mean, if the margins had been skinnier, we could have fit it onto a page that's not even over there. I mean, it's not important to the listeners.
But, like, I think that that's a sign mm-hmm. of a Saw movie that perhaps wasn't living up to the Saw book.
the book of Saw, even? Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just... It's convoluted, don't get me wrong, but it's not convoluted enough to be a Saw movie.
Yeah, like, it's not even, like, it's not convoluted in a fun way, it's just convoluted in a way where it's, like, Chris Rock, like, maybe his calling in life isn't film writing or script writing, which, like, you know, for a filmmaker, a script writer, he makes a great comedian, you know? Like, I don't know. It's kind of convoluted in that way.
Yeah.
Where it's just agreed. Like, oh, you're just maybe not good at what you set out to do.
Yeah, and the plot twist was like a plot twist that you could see from a mile away.
This, I think, is one of my biggest qualms with this movie, is that it's just so predictable.
Yeah.
Like, that I don't, like, I'm like, I don't know, maybe it was meant to be, like, maybe you're meant to know that Max Minghella is the, like, baddie from, like, page one, but
then... Page one of the Book of Saw.
Of the Book of Saw, exactly.
Like, I think if that was the case, they should have, like, let us in on it.
Yeah.
But they don't, like, they want that to be shocking for us. But then at the same time, it's like, well, yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, the biggest twist is that, like, his dad was the one that got shot by the cop. Like, that's, like, the big twist. But then it's, like, not even, like, that big of a twist. Because then it's also, like... Yo, like, why are you attacking Chris Rock when, like, he was the one that, like, put the guy away who shot your dad? Like, I know that you're, like, going after, like, corrupt cops, but, like, he's not one of them.
And then it's, like, he wants Chris Rock to be his, like, friend and confidant and, like, continue Jigsaw's work with him. I don't think, like, killing his dad is the way to get him on board.
I don't think that
doesn't make sense as a plot point. And it's just like every other Saw movie, when it gets to the end, even if it's silly, where you're like, what? Like, how did that, how are you making us believe that?
Mm-hmm.
At least it was like a shock. Like, it was a twist. It was like, I couldn't have figured that out because that was insane.
Yeah.
But this one is just like,
It just feels very lackluster. Yeah. I think that's, like, the best way to describe, honestly, this whole film is just kind of lackluster. Yeah. Okay, what would we give plot out of 5 Saws?
A 0 to 1.
I was like, I'm holding up one finger. Yeah.
I think a 1 is us being kind.
A 0.5, maybe.
A 0.5, yeah.
It's not doing it for us.
No.
Okay, moving on to characters.
Again, when we did the key players, like, everyone's a cop. That's kind of boring to have everybody be from the same place, doing the same job.
Well, and I just think, like, I said this at the beginning, but, like, it really makes it hard to root for somebody when They're all cops.
Yeah.
They're all corrupt cops.
They're all corrupt cops. And it's like, give us someone who isn't a part of that, you know? Like,
yeah. And again, I feel like this is a similar issue that we had with Jigsaw, where it's like, you introduce all these new characters, and I just, like, I have no investment in them.
I don't know who they are.
We've had this whole franchise of films with, like, reoccurring characters, and, like, John is, like, the thread through it all. Until, like he's even in Jigsaw. Like, you have him in that movie, like, you get to see him, and he's like, whatever, that's cool. But then we get here, and it's like, he's not even in it in any way, shape, or form, except you see a picture of his autopsy or whatever.
And you're like,
people. But then it's like, okay, like, I have no connection to these characters. I frankly don't care if they live or die.
No. And we don't get a chance to either. Again, they're like, introduce him for a story, dead. Introduce, dead. Introduce, dead.
Exactly.
It's like, we don't even have time to, like, root for them or care about them in any sort of way. It's just like, again, everything is short because it's so fast-paced, but it's nothing happening.
Yeah.
Like, the movie begins and ends.
It's a nothing movie.
It's nothing.
Okay, so what are we giving characters?
The characters are giving me nothing at all.
Like, zero.
Zero. I don't like anybody. Like, I don't
kind of agree.
There's like no, and I would even bump plot up to a one to continue to give characters a zero.
I don't think we can do that. I think we
have to stick to our guns.
Giving plot a 0.5 and we're giving characters a zero. Like, I just, it's nothing. They're very boring, and like you said, like, we don't spend enough time with any of them to feel invested.
And we don't really, like, we know they're corrupt, and there's, like, what's the law that kept coming up in the plot? Article 8.
Article 8.
There's, like, we didn't see enough of, like, why they're corrupt.
Yeah.
Or, like, what they've done to be corrupt. Like, we've obviously see the main one.
Yeah.
Which, like, results in all of this happening. But, like, we don't see enough of, like, why are they corrupt? How are they corrupt?
Yeah. Show, don't tell.
Like, they literally just were like, these guys, dead.
Am I right? Yeah. Okay. So, characters, zero. We're getting a zero.
Zero.
What do we think about scare factor?
I think that Chris Rock's comedy type 15s were very scary. Scary to have in a film. And I think that's it.
Yeah, no, ultimately, like, this was a Chris Rock special disguised as a Saw movie, which that is kind of, like, the ultimate jump scare.
And it was. It was. So, they said, you thought you were seeing a horror movie. Surprise.
Surprise, bitch. I will say, the traps in this are gnarly.
They are. The hot wax with having to sever your spine. But
I can't do spine stuff. I can't do it. Yeah, that one's scary. I don't like the finger trap. I find that one really gross to look at.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe a 1 for scare factor.
I'd be comfortable with that.
Just...
because the gnarly parts of them were good. Mm-hmm. But, like, the traps, like, compared to other traps, too, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
But, like, the parts that were, like, ugh, of each trap were enough to be scary. So I think a 1 is good. I'm comfortable with a 1.
I think a 1, we can do that. Okay, acting. I said in my notes, Chris Rock's acting is 10 out of 10. He is the most overwrought. I think he transcends.
This is where it transcends. That's what I was going to say. This is where it turns around.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can be so god-awful that it becomes the best thing.
And I think,
Saw 3.
See, okay, no, that's not god-awful.
That's pristine.
They're not disgusting. They're gay culture.
Gay culture.
I think Chris Rock's acting alone, 5 out of 5.
Yeah, we'll give that.
The gum acting?
The squinting?
The squinting. Okay, spoiler alert. I think that is going to bump up the overall score of this movie, is because his acting is just so cuckoo bananas.
Because he wants to be in a Saw movie.
Yeah.
And he said, while I'm here, damn it, I'm going to be in a Saw movie. And like, we have to respect
that. I really do. Like, I do think this movie is, like, overall not good.
Yeah.
But I do find it so delightful that, like, he's just such a big fan of the franchise. Like,
because if we were in that position,
oh my God,
we'd be in 12 Saw films.
Absolutely.
At least.
At least. But it does break my heart a little bit that, like, he made such a god-awful Saw film. Yeah,
that he loves it so much and he's in the worst one. He's and responsible the worst one. For the worst one.
That's a bummer. But 5 out of 5 for acting, yeah, Chris.
He transcended.
He transcended 100%. And then finally, aesthetic.
We don't have any sick transitions.
No.
This is, like, this looks visually very different from other Saw films. Like, yeah. It's like, nice to look at. Not that the other Saw movies are not.
No.
But it's not quite as yellow and green and blue and...
Yeah, it's similar. I think I said this when we were talking about Jigsaw the other week, about how, like, you know, it just looks like any other movie.
Yeah.
Like, all the previous Saw movies, like, you can just take a still of one of the scenes. It doesn't even have to have anything identifiable in it, but, like, you yeah. know, based on the hue, the tone, that it's a Saw movie. But I feel like Jigsaw and now Spiral don't have that. Like, they yeah. just are kind of...
just regular.
Generic-looking yeah. movies. And I think that takes, like, a lot of the fun out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because it's... There was a moment that it was... Very orange, very yellow.
They did, yeah.
But it wasn't enough to be like, I know where this fits in. And I think that's kind of the problem with the movie in general. It's like, where does this go?
Yeah.
And the rest of them.
I feel like it was also yellow in the way that, like, films that are, like, taking place in the Middle East
yes!
are, like, yellow
yes!
to indicate that they're, like, in the desert.
Or someone's gonna come greet Jason Statham, but they're, like, they have a camel with them just to be like, see? That's exactly the
like,
tone.
Like, that's the tone of yeah. yellow that they were using.
We're like, oh, we're in the desert now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, no,
but
we're
it's Toronto.
In Toronto. yeah. Aesthetic, what would we say?
I would give it, like, a 2.
Really?
Because I think, like, it's a move, like, it looks...
For the Universal Studios Spider-Man ride
yes,
set.
Yes, exactly. And, like, that alone... Also, the giant lock on the vault door.
Comical.
It's a ride.
Why did they
it's
have
a universal
that?
Ride.
Okay, yeah. In terms of those stylistic choices, I agree with the 2.
I think that's...
Because what was up with that?
That was a ride. Were they setting it up for that? Lionsgate.
That would be sick.
Make a theme park.
Lionsgate, you need to give us a call. You really...
We're waiting.
Get on the horn.
We're waiting.
We need to chat. Okay, so what would we rate Spiral from the Book of Saw out of 5 Saws from the Book of Saw?
I would say a 1.5 to a 2 would be the zone I fall in. I would lean towards, like, a half somewhere, but I don't...
Well, it's not going to be a 2.5, that's for sure.
It's not a 2.5, and that's where I'm at.
I
think 1.5 or 2.
Yeah, I'm looking back on what I rated it on my Letterboxd, and I generously gave it a 2.5.
You were taken by the moment.
I think so. I feel like this happens so much where, like, after I watch it, it's, like, entertaining.
I
love film. I love cinema, famously. But no, I think realistically, like, a 1.5.
I think that's generous of us.
Because what did we give Jigsaw, a 2?
I think, yeah. Maybe even a 2.5. I think a 2 is what we gave it.
Yeah, I think I wanted to give it, like, 5,
yeah.
and you talked me down from that.
Because I was sad.
You were sad.
About speaking for the dead.
I know. I think it's whimsical.
This one they learned. They said,
there could have been
I speak
more
for the
whimsy.
Dead, and so this one they went, shh, I'm not saying anything.
They're like, we can't say shit.
They were like, that was not good.
That is kind of, like, I do, like, it's so different from the rest of them in terms of, like, the
yeah.
big closing moment, but I do kind of like
oh,
the,
I do like it.
The cunty
it's
little.
It's kind of like, because that's what
the callback
did,
to
yeah,
the,
to the kid in the closet.
I like it. I think that's a good moment, but I'm comfortable with 1.5.
I think 1.5 is generous and kind sauce. Of us. 1.5 Saws out of 5.
1.5 stars from the Book of Saw.
1.5 pages.
1.5 pages from the Book of Saw.
I think overall, is it like the worst movie ever as far as movies go?
No.
But is it a really bad Saw movie? Yes.
I think that's a really important distinction to make, because we're rating it against the other movies in the franchise. And I think, like, that's where, like, when it comes to my rating on my Letterbox, I gave it a 2.5 because I'm comparing it to, like,
just like, anything.
Like
just,
other, like, yeah. You and I have watched some god-awful horror movies.
God, have we.
And so, like, it's nowhere near as bad as those. So, like, compared to those, it's a 2.5 for sure.
Fine.
Like, totally watchable.
Just, exactly, and that's it. That's the thing. It's that it's just, it's watchable.
Yeah.
I think I even, yeah, it's watchable, that's it. That's what I wrote down.
And I
that's
just, it. That's what it comes down to.
That's it.
And I feel like there are other movies, most of the other movies in the franchise, I'm like, yeah, I want to watch that again and again.
Even Jigsaw. For me.
Listen, you know how I feel about Jigsaw.
You have a connection because of the Logan.
There is a connection there.
It's unbreakable. The bond.
The bond between Logan. Loganhood. But yeah, I just feel like Spiral is not one. Like, we watched it when it first came out. And then I've now watched it for a second time to prep for this episode. And I don't really ever feel the need to watch it again, I don't
like
think.
Like, I got it.
Yeah. I got it, and that's fine.
You get it, and that's it. And now, it's our honestly moment.
Which I actually came up with one.
And I think you should start it off.
Okay, so my honestly moment, we did kind of mention this earlier, but I think it is worth repeating, is that at one point in this movie, they say, John Kramer didn't target cops. And I said, that's literally all he did. What do you mean? Like, this is what makes me go, like, Chris Rock, like, are you really a fan of the franchise?
Because I have a point. I was going to put it in fun facts, but I was like, I know we were going to talk about this because we were just like, what?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I also didn't hear it at first, and we had to go back again because, what?
Yeah.
But the director of this one is also the director of the other two. I forget which ones, but specifically about targeting cops.
Yeah. It just, like, it's like, it's a crazy line in a movie.
Like, that's not true.
Crazy line to have in a movie that's part of a franchise that is ultimately about targeting cops. Like, I don't, like, that just makes me go, like, honestly?
I was about to say, how would you say honestly?
Like,
it's honestly, don't lie to us.
Don't lie to us. Like, what do you mean? That was quite literally, like,
his whole thing.
Like, his shtick, you know? I just...
He famously hates cops and has shown it time and time again.
I don't understand how that line got... I don't know, maybe because, like...
what information is South Metropolitan Police Department getting from Toronto, I almost said, Metropolitan Police Department, that they don't know his lore?
That was just crazy to me. So that's my honestly pod moment, because what the hell?
I think that's a great honestly moment.
Thank you.
That's just... What?
Bananas. What's yours?
I have one that is a shared one, because we already talked about this as well, but the biggest, honestly, is the name of the movie.
Yeah.
Because what do you mean? Mm-hmm. What's a Book of Saw?
What the fuck is a Book of Saw?
So that's like the overarching shared honestly, I would say. But my honestly that I've settled on is the amount of times Chris Rock is squinting. Every shot is him squinting, and I think he is confused squinting for acting.
Yes.
And it's always like
squinting and chewing gum.
Squinting and chewing gum. Even when his like father is being gunned down, he's like squinting. It got to a point where I was just like, should I have kept a tally of how many times this man was squinting?
It was, like, distracting.
It was, like, every time it went to him, and it was, like, long shots of him just...
Yeah.
Scrunched up, squinting face. That was his acting.
And
to that I say, honestly? What was that about?
I have, that's a great honestly. Thank you. Because what was with the squinting?
There was a lot of it.
Too much, some might say.
I would.
I have a follow-up, honestly.
Another one.
And that is, what was up with the Taroni product placement? Like, we didn't really touch on that earlier in the episode, but for those of you that aren't from Toronto, or I think Taroni maybe has other locations in other cities, but there's an Italian restaurant in Toronto called Taroni, and they paid presumably big bucks
This was Spiral from the Book of Taroni.
That's like, what it was. Truly. Because there's a scene where a delivery, like a food delivery person, is coming to drop food off at Samuel L. Jackson's apartment, and like he's holding the food bag that says Taroni on it, and then they take it one step further because the delivery person goes, Taroni delivery?
And holds the bag in a way that you can see that it's a Taroni bag.
Panning to the camera.
And I mean, like, as two people who order food frequently,
yeah,
I don't think a food has ever come and they've said exactly where it came from. They just go, like, Uber Eats.
Yeah.
Or, like,
or they just leave it at the door.
Like, no one's like, Taroni delivery.
It was just crazy.
It was insane. It was insane, but yet another sign that gets us closer to where, what metropolitan city is.
It's Toronto, baby. It's Toronto, baby.
The subway that was in this.
The underground one.
The under, the under the ground one.
Yeah.
The secret one.
Yeah, I got you.
And Taroni. And the X.
Yeah, this one is the most, this is the Saw movie that is most blatantly shot in Toronto.
Here.
Yeah.
And so is the next one. Ooh. It's gonna be here too.
But if anybody knows what the deal with Taroni was in Spiral from the Book of Saw, please let us know.
Right?
Because what was going on
with
that?
What was that?
What was the connection?
What was that? Someone's like, I'll give you some money.
Yeah.
I'll give you a little bit if you just mention
Taroni.
Taroni delivery.
Taroni delivery.
Enter Taroni bag first.
And, like, the Taroni delivery man, like, he's a character.
Yes,
like,
it's credited.
On the, like, yeah. Taroni delivery man.
That was crazy when I was looking up the characters.
He should have been on the
I know. I was thinking about it. Like, he was on there.
Yeah.
Taroni delivery man.
Yeah.
Listed.
Because he had a speaking role by saying, Taroni delivery.
God.
Anyway.
God. It's.
And that makes me go, honestly?
Final thoughts.
I feel like we've already talked too much about this movie that doesn't really
and
warrant.
We haven't talked a whole lot compared to other ones.
I feel like we've talked a lot about a movie that doesn't really warrant this much talking, but
and this is our second time technically talking about it, because on the previous iterations
God,
we also did an episode on it.
We did. We should release that from the vault.
From the vault.
Oh my god, I'm gonna have to go back and re-listen to that to see what our thoughts and feelings were back then.
The Taroni bag, definitely, it was fresh in our minds.
They were in their Taroni bag.
Yeah, that's the title of the episode. Yeah. So I feel like two episodes worth of talking about it is
too much.
More than it ever needed.
Yeah, we've paid its dues.
Yeah, and now the next one is a good movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm excited to watch that again.
Yeah, I'm excited to be emotionally devastated.
That's my final thought, is that I'm excited to watch a different movie.
Up top. Hell yeah.
That was a good sounding
one. That was great, actually. Okay. In the meantime, between now and our next episode, you can follow us on social media. We are on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Letterboxd at HonestlyPod, and Facebook.com/HonestlyPod. You can email us at thehonestlypodcast@gmail.com. You can visit our website, which is honestlypod.ca.
.ca!
God, that feels so good to
every
say every time.
It delights me. I'm like, yeah, it's just a website that
it's
we have.
Just a website. Don't forget that you can rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Pocket Cast, Podable, other places
wherever
for sure.
Wherever you can get them.
And if you leave us a written review on whatever podcast platform you can do that on,
Hell yeah.
Send us a screenshot of it, and we'll send you some truly limited edition Honestly Pod stickers.
So we have stickers now available for this. We have our regular logo. Mm-hmm. We have a little, like, let's all go to the lobby looking guy. And we have season-specific stickers. Mm-hmm. So write us a review.
Write us a review. Send us a screenshot of it. We'll send you some stickers. They're really fucking cute, and you're going to want some.
Yeah.
Also, if you have an Honestly Pod moment...
Good.
...from any of the movies we've talked about thus far into the season, let us know what it is. And maybe you'll get a sticker, too.
Ooh.
We'll see how it goes. Also, quick shout out.
Oh my god, BFF.
To new friend of the pod, Oatmeal Boyfriend.
Slay.
If you know, you know.
Little hearts. We're throwing up little hearts for you.
We're throwing up little hearts to Oatmeal Boyfriend. Thank you.
For being you.
For being a real one. We stan. Oatmeal Boyfriend, more like Oatmeal King.
As we've been referring to you.
In our private text message conversations.
He unfollows. Please don't.
He's tapping out. He's like, I don't want to be involved.
Thank you for your support of the show.
No, but truly, genuinely, thank you. It makes us so happy when you guys reach out to us and message us and comment and like things. It does not go unnoticed.
Yeah, it delights us every time. So thank you, anyone who's listening.
Yes.
And anyone who will listen at any time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And Oatmeal Boyfriend, I almost said Oatmeal King, because that's literally what we call you. If you want stickers, please,
let us know.
Please reach out, because we'd love to send you some.
Yeah.
So that's our little shout out to Oatmeal Boyfriend / Oatmeal King.
Oatmeal King. Our Oatmeal King. Is that it?
We have merch for
Purge. We do.
Sorry, I got distracted by the shout out.
It's not merchandise.
Merchandise for Purchandise, you can go to our website and there's a link there, or you can go to honestlypod.threadless.com.
Yeah, and I think we'll add the little let's go to the lobby guy on something soon. So he's very fun.
He is so fucking cute. We love our new branding.
Yeah.
Everything's amazing. Shout out to Zoe. You also get a shout out.
I get a shout out. Wow, me and Oatmeal King both with shout outs. Shout out to Logan also.
Aw, thank you. What do I get a shout out for?
Just for being you.
Thanks. That feels like kind of a made up shout out, but I'll take it.
No, it's not.
I'll take it. Thank you so much.
She's our social media queen.
Well.
What is that now? She is.
I do be posting.
Is that it?
That's all. All
right.
Bye.